Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, where your host, Marsha Padilla Goad, will leave you feeling empowered, aware, and knowledgeable of what may be impacting your lives and communities politically, but without taking a political position. Get ready, really understand and discover the power you hold as a voter and how you can use your voice to educate lawmakers and influence pending legislation. Grassroots Advocacy Radio is a space for conversations that will educate, empower, influence, and engage listeners, no matter what you may be for or against, or even of a particular political party affiliation. Now is your time to find your voice and share it with others. And now, here is your host, Marsha.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marsha Padilla Goad, and you are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. February is American Heart Month, and it's a time when we raise awareness about heart health and urge Americans to lower their risk for developing heart disease. For the next hour, we will talk about heart disease as the number one killer of women in the United States. For the first half of our show, we will focus on this deadly disease among African American women. And in the second half of today's show, we will meet two heart disease survivors. They will tell us about their journey, their recovery, treatment, and their advocacy through the American Heart Association and the Go Red for Women campaign. Joining me right now is Dr. Iselma Fergus. She said I can call her Dr. IC. She is Director of Cardiovascular Disparities at the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Dr. IC also serves on the board of the Association of Black Cardiologists. She also served 2 years as secretary and has been the chair of community programs for the past 3 years. She is a prominent educator in the Harlem community and is a member of the Harlem Healthy Eating and Living Committee, supported by the Harlem Chamber of Commerce. Dr. Icy, welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio.
Good afternoon, Marsha. I'm absolutely happy to be here talking with you this afternoon. I also wanted to let you know, I have actually served as the president of the Association of Black Cardiologists.
Wow.
I was a second female since the inception in 1974, and that was back in 2014.
Wow. That's good to know. I had no idea about that. Thank you so much. So, you know, in preparation for today's show, I had to do some research on my own. And of course, you know, I will say that I was alarmed by the statistics that I came across in my research. Sure. And I will tell you, as a woman, as an African-American woman, I am worried about what I am learning about this demographic and also about my own health and my own family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to hopefully educate millions of people today about this deadly disease.
Yes.
But, you know, but before we go into statistics, Dr. Icy, I think it's important to kind of talk about really what heart disease really is, because, you know, cardiovascular disease, I mean, it's not just one disease. It's a whole, you know, host of problems with the heart that, you know, we call heart disease. Can you explain to us what it is?
Absolutely. That's absolutely key, Marsha, because many people, when they hear about heart disease, they simply think of heart attacks. Mm-hmm. Think that it's not, you know, relevant to them. But heart disease is the number one killer in the United States and in the whole entire world. It's the number one killer of men and of women And sometimes it's sudden, it's deadly, and you cannot predict sometimes when sudden cardiac death will happen. Heart disease can encompass blockages in the arteries or hardening of the arteries, and that can result in what's called a heart attack or myocardial infarction. But it may also involve the pumping of the heart. So the heart muscle may be weak and not able to pump, and or stiff and high pressures within the heart. Both of those can result in what we call heart failure. And some people, when they hear about heart failure, they get very nervous because they think the heart will stop. It just means that the heart is not able to pump effectively, leaving the body filled with fluid and the lungs filled with fluid. The person usually is short of breath and unable to function in their normal daily activities. And Martha, it also means possibly having an irregular heartbeat known as an arrhythmia. That could be fast, that could be slow. Some are more dangerous than others. Some may need, you may need to be on a blood thinner, such as atrial fibrillation. And finally, it also involves the valves of the heart, where you may have a heart murmur or something like that, that could be from multiple different issues as well. So it's a big grouping of different conditions relating to the heart, not just relating only to heart attacks.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for that in-depth definition for us. You know, I wanted to just mention quickly some of these statistics that I came across, because I think, you know, focusing on the first two segments of this show about heart disease among African-American women, I think it's really important for our listeners to hear these statistics themselves, because you're really not going to relate unless, you know, you get that shock factor. And so cardiovascular, according to the American Heart Association, cardiovascular disease kills nearly 50,000 African-American women annually.
Yes.
And women ages 20 and older, of African-American women ages 20 and older, 49% have heart diseases. That's only right. One in five African-American women believes she is personally at risk. That's only 52% of African-American women are aware of the signs and symptoms of a heart attack. And I'm going to read one more here. Mm-hmm. African-American women have almost two times the risk of stroke than Caucasians, and are more likely to die at an earlier age compared to women in other ethnicities. Yes. Wow. Wow.
That is absolutely correct. And in fact, a new article just came out yesterday in Circulation, which is one of the major journals that we look at as cardiologists, and following a group of individuals, 15,000 of which one third were African Americans over 9.6 years. And it turns out that African American women are three times more likely to die from sudden cardiac death. So that just basically is the icing on the cake of everything that you have just spoken about. And you know that 80% of heart disease is preventable. Therefore, a lot of what we talked about or what you just mentioned can be, taken care of, prevented, or even cured with the right therapy and the right knowledge and education relating to the heart disease itself.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, so the statistics actually went on to saying just kind of, these are more general statistics, that about 800,000 Americans will have their first coronary attack, but numbers are showing that African Americans are at a higher risk. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're going to go deeper into a lot of the factors that relate to African Americans and why they're at a higher risk, but why do you think that is?
Well, you know, it's not a simple answer. I wish it was, but you focused on something, or you mentioned the risk factors. So typically some of the risk factors occur earlier and they have more deadly outcomes for African-Americans. And some of the major risk factors, we're talking about hypertension, right? Or high blood pressure.
Yes.
Which is a major risk factor, especially for African Americans, and contribute to it contributes to heart failure, to heart disease, and to stroke and renal disease, right? The other thing is diabetes, which is occurring at an alarming rate. Almost 400 million people now have diabetes, but they go hand in hand. And I'm talking, Marsha, about the type 2 diabetes, or what we call adult onset, which is to differentiate it from juvenile onset diabetes. But the nomenclature has changed because it's not necessarily adult onset anymore, as we're starting to see younger and younger people develop this type 2 diabetes. So high blood pressure and diabetes, they go hand in hand, oftentimes with weight, increased weight. And these three are some of the major risk factors that result in all people, but particularly African Americans, because they start with the blood pressure at earlier ages, harder to control, and the diabetes may be less controlled. So, of course, there'll be worse outcomes when these risk factors are present.
That's interesting, because I also saw that 80% of African American compared to 58% of Caucasian women are overweight or obese, and 64% of African American women don't get leisure time physical activity.
Yes. So let's speak to that. One of the things, though, I do want to talk about is that different people of different ethnicities have different body mass indices, if you will. So if you're talking about Asian American women, their body mass index may be smaller. And so, you know, while that's true about the weight, sometimes if someone's taller, of course, they'll weigh more. I know that in looking in through the literature and in just doing my research, I know that if you have abdominal fat in particular, what we call visceral adiposity, that's the fat that's around the belly, that carries a lot more significance, Marsha, than if you have the fat distributed around your hips. So we talk about apple shape versus pear shaped. So not to, you know, minimize the weight, but it sometimes depends on the distribution of the weight.
Right.
However,
makes
we also know that if you're very active and exercising, that actually protects against some of the risk factors. So it may kind of minimize, for instance, if you are above an increased weight, if you are also, you know, physically active and exercising at the recommended amounts.
Wow. Well, that's good to know. Let's hold that thought, because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about awareness. You are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha Padilla-Goad. We're going on a quick break. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Icy, Director of Cardiovascular Disparities at the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com. The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marcia Padilla-Goad. My guest today is Dr. Icy, who is talking to us about heart disease among African-American women. And Dr. Icy, before we go back into our discussion, how can our listeners contact you or to engage in any advocacy efforts and programs that you have going on?
Well, absolutely. And since I'm here on behalf of both the Association of Black Cardiologists and Mount Sinai,
yes,
I would like to provide the contact information for the Association of Black Cardiologists. The CEO is Cassandra McCullough. The current chairperson is Dr. Cheryl Pegas, and the current president is Dr. John Fontaine. And they may log on to the ABC's website at www.abcardio.org. That's www.abcardio.org.
Perfect.
In Mount Sinai, they are able to reach out to me through the Mount Sinai website, which is www.mountsinai.org. Or they can email me at my first name dot my last name at mountsinai.org. I also have a website for the community outreach that I do in Central Harlem, and that's www.healthyheartseries.org. That's www.healthyheartseries.org.
Perfect. Great. So now I would like to talk to you about awareness. There was a study that was conducted also by the American Heart Association, which found that generally awareness about heart disease as the number one cause of death is increasing, which is great. And I believe that study said awareness has doubled among women in the last 15 years. But that study also found that awareness and knowledge of heart disease is still lagging in minorities and younger women. They were comparing numbers in 2012, which showed that 36% of Black women and 34% of Hispanic women identified heart disease as the top killer. And what was really alarming about those statistics was that those numbers for Caucasian women were already doubled at the same time. Why do you think there is a lack of awareness in the minority community?
So, Marsha, I think that's an excellent question. And I think that it's multifactorial. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate and volunteer for the American Heart Association. They have started the Go Red campaign. And with that campaign has really brought so much awareness to women. But some of the events, such as the lunches and different opportunities to hear about mm-hmm. heart disease, where they occur, you know, the women in the neighborhoods who are often maybe you're Black and Latina, they're not coming necessarily mm-hmm. to those lunches. So I always right. talk about bringing the information to people where they are, exactly what you're doing, the grassroots advocacy radio, where people can listen, but also, you know, creating different opportunities within the communities to provide this type of education. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the different organizations that do such things, but we have to consider how to meet women where they are. So going into the churches, mm-hmm. going into the communities and conducting programs within the communities, such as the ABC Spirit of the Heart program, or such as the Healthy Heart Series program, which I have been involved with through Mount Sinai for the last 7 years mm. in Central Harlem. So again, I think, you know, if you bring the information to where women are, where they can understand it and relate to it, then I think that that would be one factor to that would allow increased awareness, radio, TV, and programs within the community itself.
I agree with you. And what kind of progress are you seeing in Harlem? Because I know a lot of your work is focused in that area. What are you seeing differently? Are people really taking to the information and they are changing lifestyles? And tell us, what are you seeing?
My team of 11, which includes two other cardiologists, so family practitioner, nurse practitioners, diabetes nurse educator and clinical coordinator, and students, mm-hmm. We go out into the community. Our average age is 65 years old, 90% wow. are women. And we have a mixture of women from the community, primarily African-Americans and some Hispanics. And we've done a series of questionnaires, usually at the beginning of the year and the end, and certainly at the beginning of the program, which began in 2012. Over the years, we have seen an improvement in quality of life. People feel better. They feel better. They act better. We have seen an improvement in compliance with medications. Women now feel empowered to ask their providers questions about the medications that they're on, what they do, what are the side effects, the cost, et cetera. Whereas in the past, they may not have taken the medication and they may not have asked any questions about the medication, which of course leads to worsening outcomes. We have also noted a significant increase in women shopping and buying foods that are more nutritious because we do food demonstrations and we introduce them to a number of new fruit and vegetables, the green, leafy, and vegetables of color. They're able to distinguish that potatoes, corn, carrots, and some of the starchy, quote, vegetables are to be minimized and that they should increase the use of non-starchy vegetables. Mm. They also learn, we do food demos, how to prepare these different foods, these fruit and vegetables in ways that are more healthy. And the other thing that we did, we worked with the supermarkets in Central Harlem to ensure that the healthier products are at the front of the supermarket at eye level, where people can actually see what's going on versus putting the more sort of fast food products that kids like but are not healthy to the front of the store.
Right.
So these, among other things within that we've done, we've seen those benefits as we talked about. Mm-hmm. We're currently doing a lot of re-evaluation, writing and analyzing statistics, but we have seen a reduction in systolic blood pressure as well as mean arterial blood pressure in some of these women. So we're continuing to analyze what we've had, but we've certainly seen a number of these great outcomes, as I have already mentioned to you.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. And I think you kind of dove right into the social determinant factors. Yes. The causes of heart disease. Now, Dr. Izzy, I think the best way to end this segment is to ask you, what's the take-home message you have for listeners?
Well, the take-home message that I have for listeners is to love yourself first. One of the things that we do within the communities as women is we're managing multiple different things, family members, work, stress, and many other things. But I ask you to please advocate for your own self, love your heart, put your own mask on first. That means taking care of yourself. Yeah. Stop and analyze what's going on with your body. Do an assessment of your physiological age, because you may be age 30, but based on the unhealthy activities that you're engaging in, you may actually have a physiological age 12 years older. So even though you're 30, your body may be that of a 42-year-old. The good news that it's reversible. And the good news is that heart disease is 80% preventable. A lot of it has to do with your lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle, and taking care of yourself.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for joining us today to talk about this very, very important topic and how we can all take charge of our health. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Marcia.
Absolutely. I'm Marcia Padilla Goad, and you're listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. We're taking a quick break, and when we come back, we will meet two heart disease survivors, Ms. Gail Harris-Berry and Daniela Leonhard. They will share their journey with heart disease and how they are giving back through their advocacy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm. TheAngelLady.net.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or not getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
We're back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marsha Padilla Goad. Joining us for the second half of today's show are two heart disease survivors, Ms. Gail Harris-Berry and Daniela Leonhardt. I would like to welcome both of you to Grassroots Advocacy Radio and to also thank you for helping us encourage millions of women to take charge of their health today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you.
So I read both of your bios, and of course, you know, I'm very moved. It's very moving and also kind of shocking in a sense. And Daniela, I want to start with you because you've had quite a journey with misdiagnoses after misdiagnoses, right? Can you give us the brief version of your experience?
I suppose I can try. It started with fainting spells. And honestly, being as healthy as I was or am, I never thought of myself as somebody who might even be afflicted with anything that had any relation to heart disease. So it was partially, I guess, my fault as well because I just didn't know. Going to the doctors, they thought that it was hormonal or that I had contracted a virus. And I started with fainting spells. The first fainting spells were once in a blue moon, and eventually they got to the point where they were happening a couple of times a week, and they were accompanied by being extremely tired and being forgetful and not having enough energy and not being able to really take in deep breaths.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so, but each time you had gone to the doctor, you were basically sent home with, you know, other symptoms,
unfortunate.
Anything but heart disease. And Gail, you actually had a similar experience because you went to the hospital four times.
Five.
Oh my goodness. And each time you were sent home with a clean bill of health.
Exactly.
Can you tell us at what point did heart disease come into the equation for you?
That's one of the reasons why I am so passionate about being represented with the American Heart Association is because I had told them from the very beginning of my family history of heart disease. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
But that was totally ignored. And so finally, I just refused to leave the hospital because I knew that something was wrong. And just as Daniela said, I was extremely fatigued. I could probably put one foot in front of the other. So though I didn't know what it was, and they had my family history, I was still turned away saying nothing was wrong, especially with my heart.
That's incredible. That's really incredible because, Daniela, you also brought up a topic here that kind of, you know, goes against what I actually just talked about with Dr. Icy in the first segment. I mean, here you are, you're exercising, you're feeling good, right? I mean, you're having these fainting spells ever so often. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you weren't overweight or obese. You kind of didn't fit the profile for someone with heart disease. But it goes to show you, you don't have to be obese to have heart disease.
No, not at all. I didn't fit the profile at all. In fact, I was an athlete. I was preparing for world championships.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. And what I think is so incredibly amazing about both of you is that you not only turned your health around, but you're giving back. And, you know, you are trying to reach women wherever they are to educate them about this deadly disease. And you know, this is what grassroots advocacy is all about. It's about tapping the other person on the shoulder to make them aware of an issue that can impact their life. And, you know, in the first segment, as I mentioned, we talked specifically about heart disease among African-American women. And in looking at the general statistics for women in general, you know, I was also very, very much alarmed. And I want to go down just a couple of these statistics for you. More than 200,000 women die each year of heart attacks. That is five times as many women as breast cancer. 50% yeah. of Caucasian women and 64% of African American women and 60% of Hispanic women. And the statistics also included 53% of Asian Pacific Islander women are sedentary and don't get much leisure time physical activity. And again, Daniela, that goes against, you know, what you represented. I mean, here you are, a healthy woman. You're both involved in advocacy efforts with the American Heart Association and the Go Red for Women campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about the campaign?
Well, as you already mentioned with the statistics, that's the reason why we get involved, because we know that the information gives us power to mm-hmm. combat this disease. We also know that heart disease is preventable and treatable. And so the more people we reach telling our stories and giving them information and statistics, just as you mentioned, we believe that we can help to eradicate this disease. One of the missions of the American Heart Association is to reduce the number of deaths as it relates to heart disease by 20%. That was by 2020. So we have another year to get that number down. Now we are making strides. Although heart disease is still the number one killer, we are seeing some diminishing degree as it relates to stroke. So we're getting the word out. We're on the right track, but there's still much to do.
What kind of activities are you engaged in? And are they year long or is it all in the month of February?
It's what year long for Daniela and I.
Yes.
Wow.
For Daniela and I, it's been years long. So not wow. just, yeah, we yeah, do it
been,
on a regular.
We've been at this for a very long time.
Oh, wow. That's great. You know, I could actually start, you know, conversations that I have listed for the next segment. But, you know, I guess you can tell us why you believe, you know, this campaign is so important. You've touched on that a little bit. But, you know, why is this program so important? And why do you believe that women should become engaged in it?
Well, education is so important. If we know that heart disease is the number one killer of women, that it claims the lives of one in three women, mm-hmm. then perhaps our moms, our sisters, our friends, our fathers, everybody will look at us a little bit differently because we do so much too. So I think it's an important message to share. If it hadn't been for the wonderful people in my life who are just as stubborn as I am, who stood up to the doctors even when I was hospitalized and said, no, there is something wrong with her. Wow. I wouldn't be here and my children wouldn't have a mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And often we know this has happened many times with women who weren't as lucky as I was that didn't have the support system that I had. So I do all of my advocacy work because of that. I don't believe that children should lose their mom to this disease.
No, yeah, you're absolutely.
I think the other thing too we have to focus on, and I know Danielle will know this as well, are the risk factors. Mm-hmm. Because as we're educating, there are some risk factors in particular, because I'm an African-American woman, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. the 64%, there are risk factors that we can change. And there are some things that we are predisposed to that we can't change, as in particular, my ethnicity. Mm-hmm. So that part I can't change. But the risk factors that I can change will help to change or at least reduce our potential possibility of having a heart event or at least surviving, you know. So
right, and it's 80%
our sodium intake, all of those type of things, we can kind of help ourselves as well. And that's the main message that we get out, is knowing our numbers. And so when we know our numbers, our blood pressure levels, check challenge control, these are things that we can help ourselves to help prevent cardiovascular disease or death from it.
Yeah. And 80% of that is preventable through those, knowing those numbers.
It's incredible. How can listeners get involved in the Go for Red campaign and actually at the American Heart Association in general?
Well, we're always looking for volunteers. You just simply need to Google American Heart Association and get their number, and they'll be more than happy to have you come on board and also spread the message of heart disease, such as we do, but in particular, those who have been diagnosed with the disease, because everybody's story is different.
Yes.
And they can actually just go to yourthecure.org or heart.org/DC.
Perfect. So we are actually going to take a quick break, and then we can continue our discussion. This is Marcia Padilla-Goad with Grassroots Advocacy Radio. We're going on a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue our discussion with Ms. Gail Harris-Berry and Daniela Leonhardt. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marsha Padilla-Goad. And joining me in this segment of the show are two heart disease survivors, Gail Harris-Berry and Daniela Lanhart. So in the first, in the third segment, you know, we kind of got a feel for, you know, your journeys and, you know, in discovering that you have this deadly disease. And as I can imagine, with any deadly disease or, you know, becoming aware of what's happening to you, you have to completely change your lifestyles. And I know that's not the easiest thing. What are some of the challenges you had in taking charge of your health? Because it not only affected you, this is your entire family as well.
That is a very good point. So for me, I'm Daniela. For me, it was just slowing down. Mm-hmm. There were certain things that I just can't do anymore as I would like to. But it absolutely affected my family as well. It affected my children. But we still exercise every day. We make sure that the American Heart Association recommends that you do at least 150 minutes of exercise a week, which is about 2.5 hours. You know, it's not super long, but it's enough for us to get that cardiovascular health that we need.
Right.
And my children and I make sure we do that. And eating healthy, which is something I was doing before, to manage weight, eating multiple times a day, and making sure we're not taking in too many sugars and too many salts.
Mm. Wow. And so here you are once again, you know, coming back to your journey. Here you are, a healthy woman, you're exercising, you don't fit the profile. And we also discussed this, Gail, too. You also didn't fit the profile, for a heart disease patient. But here we are again, you know, you're doing what you think are all the right things, you know. And then you made this, then you have this discovery. Do you want to talk some more about your journey?
I do. I think the thing is, as you indicate, what they were missing for me is that heart disease ran in my family. Mm-hmm. All the men on my father's side of the family died before the age of 50.
Oh,
my
wow.
Sister, wow. Yeah. My father survived because he had quadruple bypass surgery and now lives with a defibrillator. My sister, who is 2 years younger than I, developed heart disease 1 year after I had my first episode. So it runs in my family. And so too often, I'm sure you all have heard this before, that women are not taken seriously as it relates to heart disease. You know, they call it everything else but that. And so that's why being your own advocate is so important, especially when you don't present with atypical symptoms. Because when I had my first episode, I didn't have high cholesterol. I didn't have high hypertension. I had none of the atypical symptoms. That's how come I was turned away so many times.
Mm. Well, and Hollywood didn't help us either, right? It portrays heart disease as a man's disease.
Yes.
So
yes.
Exactly. We don't expect it to be a woman's disease. So that for me is a big thing. Wow. And that was when I walked into my doctor's office yet again and complained of all my symptoms. I was nauseous. I was dizzy. I was tired to the point of being able to sleep for 13 hours and not being functional.
Rested. Yeah.
And not being rested and canceling events from fear of driving my car because I might crash it because I was so tired even at the wheel. And then the PA, physician's assistant, just looked at me and he said, "Well, we're going to check your heart." And I looked at him like he was a crazy person because I thought he wasn't listening. I basically looked at him thinking, well, look at me. Do I look like someone who could have a heart disease? I am not a middle-aged man. I'm not obese. But it doesn't, heart disease does not discriminate at all.
Right.
So one of the things that we believe should be added more is people should know their blood pressure. They should know their cholesterol numbers. They should know their blood sugar numbers, BMI. Talk to your doctor. There are so many things you can do to lower your heart health risks.
Not only do you talk to your doctor, but you also have to have the conversations with your family in my case, because as I said, I knew that heart disease ran in my family. And even though I was telling them that and no statistics that were given, that part was going like way over the head or unnoticed, or like, you can't have heart disease. You're too young for heart disease. You're too this for that. And you don't have the symptoms. You don't have high blood pressure. You don't have this. Because I was even given a prescription to go have a stress test. Pass the stress test with flying colors.
Me too.
Wow. 3 days later. Three days later, I'm back in the hospital. So, I mean, different things can give you a false sense. And that's my story, is because if 80% of this disease is preventable and treatable, we really should not be dying at this alarming rate. But you have to just continue to be your own advocate, especially when you know that there is something wrong. You just have to stay on it until you get someone to hear you.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. We are our best advocates. And you've certainly, both of you have demonstrated, you know, we know our bodies. We know our bodies best. And I've had those experiences where I've gone to my doctor complaining of something and he says, no, you're fine, but I know my body, you know, and you know when something's wrong. So, kudos to both of you for keeping on top of what was happening with you and to getting to the point where it was figured out, because it certainly saved your lives. It certainly saved your lives. And even though those statistics are alarming, here 200,000 women are dying of heart disease each year. And as you both mentioned, you know, we all have an opportunity to turn our health around for the better. And, you know, Gail, I think it was you who mentioned, that there are some things that we should know about our risk factors. And, you know, it's part of the simple steps to taking control of our health. And the first one is know your risk factors. Although we can't change our age, our heredity, mm-hmm. Right. we can't change our ethnicity, our race. You know, there are many other risk factors for heart disease that we can definitely control. And the other thing is talking to our doctors. You know, we shouldn't just show up in their offices and let them take the lead in figuring out what's going on with us. We need to, you know,
well, they only know what we tell them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so at the next doctor's visit, you know, bring a list of questions. And I think I saw part in my research, bring a list of questions and a heart health scorecard to help assess your risk for heart disease. And the final thing
I think all of that is good, but then there is also in respect to that is because I had the conversation with my doctors as it relates, because once you're diagnosed with heart disease, you know, they generally put you on a prescription of a cocktail of medicines, a blood thinner, aspirin, so forth and so on. Okay. And all the time, that is not the best prescription for every individual heart disease, because I took the medicines as I was prescribed because I'm trusting the doctor, and I had the conversation and they told me that I would have to take the blood thinner, the aspirin, cholesterol medicine, hypertension medicine. Now remember, I had no atypical symptoms. So it was hard for me to wrap my mind around why I had to take it. But I did, because they were the doctor. Right. But then I wound up in a coma. And I know now, even in this part of my advocacy is I don't just take a prescription anymore. I need to know, you know, the side effects of medicines and all of that kind of thing like that, because I never want to put myself under the gun as I was before. Daniela knows that I spent 3 weeks in a coma and to fight for my life to be back. And so I have to know, you know, what's the best prescription. And one thing as a Christian, I know that medicines really don't heal you. They help you to live better with what you have. And so we still have to be advocates, even as it relates to certain medicines. And now I have been taken completely off of blood thinner. They say Plavix was a medicine I should never have been on.
Oh,
so,
wow.
it's those things as well. So it's a combination of knowing the risk factors, knowing your numbers, having a conversation with your doctor, because I was having a lot of breakout and bleeding and bruising on my arms and stuff. I mean, huge marks. And the doctor said to me, but the benefit of the medicine is so much greater than the side effects. Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen to be correct in my case.
Wow. Wow. What was your experience like with your medications, Daniela?
So I'm lucky in the sense, well, I'm lucky in the sense now that I am only on blood thinners. I take them twice a day because of the mild stroke that I had in 2015. But other than that, the medicines that they tried to put me on before for atrial fibrillations, I was having adverse reactions to. They were lowering my blood pressure to the point of fainting. So we had to stop them. And well, now I've had an ablation for the atrial fibrillations. So we're crossing fingers that that's gone. But that's also why I'm on the blood thinners, so we can avoid having another stroke.
Wow.
So
wow. This has been, a wonderful opportunity for all of us to become better educated, more aware of our health, and to take charge. I know for me, it's more or less a wake up call. Gail, you mentioned having that false sense of security. Just don't do it.
Right.
Just don't do
Absolutely.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So we are actually getting ready to start wrapping up today's show. And as always, I like to remind our listeners, and certainly the both of you have demonstrated this today, but as citizens and voters of this great nation, it is in our best interest to be informed on issues and legislation that are being considered at the local, state, and federal levels. It is also our responsibility as citizens to educate our government officials about how our lives and communities would or are being impacted by their actions. If we don't tell our stories to them, they won't know how to best represent us. If you would like to contact me, you can visit my website at dynamicsinpublicaffairs.com. A recording of this show will also be archived and available for download on the website. I want to thank my guests today, Gail and Daniela, for this great opportunity to educate us about this important health issue and how we can make healthier decisions to improve our lives. I also want to thank you all for tuning in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. Please join me every first Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank
you for listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, conversations to educate, empower, and engage with Marsha Padilla-Goad. Tune in the first Tuesday of every month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Marsha will continue to educate you on grassroots advocacy and the vital role it plays in the legislative process. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit dynamicsinpublicaffairs.com. That's dynamicsinpublicaffairs.com. See you next time.